everyone. I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio, the show that gives you the facts about relationships and love. Now, I've been helping individuals and couples improve their relationships for the past 30 years, and today I'm here to give you science-based strategies for your relationships and those of your children. Welcome, welcome, everyone. It's Dr. Terry. Thanks so much for joining me today. I appreciate you. Now, being at home with your children under one roof can be very challenging. But today's program is all about how you can use this time to connect at home with your children in quarantine. But before I introduce my guest today and we talk about that topic, listeners, if you're a parent, I want to let you know about a free weekly newsletter exclusively for parents called the Plugged In Parent Cheat Sheet. It's a free weekly email edited by the former executive producer of Entertainment Tonight, and it's designed to help you as a parent plug into the most popular tween and teen entertainment choices. It's a fun, easy to follow tool that will expand the range of conversations you can have with your children at home. And I say, parents, it will make you as a parent seem cool and knowledgeable, like you know what's important to your kids and what they're watching and listening to in pop culture. Now, to sign up for your free weekly email, it's really simple. Just go to pluggedinparent.guide and give your email address. Again, that's pluggedinparent.guide. Now, my guest today to discuss how to connect with your children during quarantine is Carolyn Hidalgo. Carolyn is a blogger and certified life coach who specializes in relationship issues with a focus on the soul. She uses a model of living judgment-free to help clients live true to themselves and not the expectations of others. Today, Carolyn shares ways to slow down and create the space for amazing conversations, happier times, and a more authentic connection with your children during quarantine. For more information about Carolyn or her coaching services, please visit CarolynHidalgo.com. CarolynHidalgo.com. So welcome to the program, Carolyn. Great to have you with us today.
Hi, Terry. Thanks for having me.
Yes, I know we had you on the program before and listeners loved you. So thank you for coming back and sharing your wisdom.
Absolutely.
Now, tell us first what you mean when you say you're a life coach who specializes in relationship issues with a focus on the soul. What does that mean?
So we talk a lot about mind, body, and soul. And for me, what I've learned over the years is the focus on the soul is it tends to get left out sometimes and understanding what that is exactly. So a lot of the practices that I share really get down to that part of us that is, you know, just that feeling inside that's sometimes we talk about it as our intuition, that inner knowing. And it does require us to slow down to get here and really be present in the moment. And so a lot of what I work with around client issues and relationships, it always tends to come back to here. Comes right back.
Right. I like that. And and it just seems so whole, like that gestalt view of you're looking at the whole person as well. Is that correct, Carolyn?
It is. And, you know, the mind, body, and soul, it does all come together and connect in this integrated way. And so for me, the focus is in the soul area, because when we come from this place, it sort of expands outwards to everything else. So I feel, you know, in the work that I've done with clients, we can talk about the mind and how we're thinking and our body and how we're taking care of it physically, but our soul is like our guide. It's like our compass. And when we listen to that inner voice that is true to ourselves and what we know is right for us and what works for us, that really helps be the guide for whatever we're doing.
That was a good explanation. Thank you for sharing all of that. Now, as I stated in the introduction, being at home with your children under one roof can be challenging, particularly given these very uncertain times that we're living in right now. Now, first, I know you have three children. How are you doing with your children in lockdown or quarantine?
So I feel really blessed. My twin girls are 18 now, and my son is 20, so they're in their university years. And this time for me, honestly, feels like a blessing because I get to have them home with me, and they're just in a great place now with all these practices that I've been using over the years have paid off. So I feel just like we get to do the things that, you know, we're all focused on and, you know, finding your passion. All these things are part of this journey. And so I'm in a great place right now. And I'm feeling, just like I know how hard it was when they were younger, just the challenges that go on during all the different ages and stages, and being in a lockdown, you know, with all the uncertainty happening right now is difficult. So I just feel for a lot of parents out there.
And I know, you know, parents now are taking on so many roles too during this period of time of quarantine. They're being a teacher, you know, they're being a friend, they're being a parent, they're being a motivator. So, you know, parents are going through these struggles. And how do we help parents to see the silver lining, to enjoy or connect with children during this time? Very difficult. Now, before we get to the strategies to help parents, why do you think it's important to connect with your children during this time or at any time? What are the benefits to parents? What are the benefits to children if we do connect authentically?
Oh, wow.
Good question, right?
Why is it so important? This feels like just the thing we want most as parents, for them to be happy and to be true to what feels right for them, you know, and when they can be themselves, and we always want them to come to us and want to be excited to share with us. A lot of times there are experiences we have as parents where we're trying to like find out what's going on, right? Like they get home and it's like, what's happening? And we can sound like an interrogator as a mom. And what's nicer is when they're excited to come to us, you know, and then this over time, you know, as they get into their tweens and teens, they spend more time with their peers, and you know, we become less of an influence there. You know, we've got other influences in the mix, and it gets more challenging to really connect with them and keep that connection alive with them. And so it's like being ourselves and letting them be themselves. And can we share all the things that we want to be able to feel free to talk about in conversations, and that they trust us, you know? So yeah, all of that.
So very important. I agree. And, you know, I'm always talking as well in terms of relationships, Carolyn, that as a parent, it's important to provide a good, you know, home. It's important to provide income. It's important to provide food and shelter. And we're always, as parents, worried or concerned about those issues. But just as important, as you said, is this relationship that we have with our child or children, and that will help them physically. It will help them psychologically. It will help them when they become young adults and older adults. It will help them in so many ways. And I think as parents, sometimes we forget that. We're concerned so much on that survival notion, right? But we need to remember the relationship and how that is so important to our children as well. And I think you said it best, for them to come to us, for them to want to share, for them to want to emote, for them to want to tell us about their experiences. So very important as they fly off and become their own people as well.
Yes.
So what are some of the strategies then to connect with our children? I know you have many. So share with us a few so we can connect authentically with our children.
So the first one I'm going to share is about slowing down and being real with what's going on. And right now is this time of, you know, a lot of uncertainty. And so we tend to get into this place of worry, and it comes from, you know, the fears we have of what's happening. And so there's a distinction that I make between worrying as an energy that we're holding and concern. And so when I come from worry, we tend to get reactive, you know, like I'm fearful of something, and that feeling of worry can get us into that state where our emotions are reactive emotions, as opposed to when we're in a concern and we're caring about our kids and what's happening. It's like it is a slowing down place in us where we're more aware of our own emotions, and that feeling that we have, if we can get ourselves into the place of concern, it can feel like what I talk about is from moving from fear to faith. You know, fear creates this worry. And then in that moment, we can react to something. And those emotions tend to be frustration, anger, blame even. And we're not in that present slowing down, a calm place in us. And you know, with kids, that goes on a lot, right? There's so much going on with us. We're juggling a lot of things. But when we can remember to take that moment to realize, okay, I am concerned about these things that are happening. How can I still be in that place of faith and hope and care and get down to what I'm really feeling here with my own authentic emotions? And those emotions tend to be those deeper emotions of, you know, it can be like a sadness that's happening of what's going on around us, or it's a feeling of like our vulnerable emotions are coming from a place that touches into what is more authentic for ourselves. And so when we actually express that, we're giving our kids that permission to do that as well. You know,
I like that. So this is all about us as a parent, right? Yeah. So it's not even really connected to the child yet until you express it. And you're saying we as a parent want to slow down and talk about how we're concerned within ourselves about what's going on. And by slowing down, we can recognize that it's concern, not worry, because that's a place of fear. And then go up to our child, Carolyn, and say, I'm concerned about what's going on. Is that how I would do that?
Yes. And express, and you're actually coming from, you're literally expressing from a deeper place in yourself with that.
And I like that.
And they can connect with you there. You know, when we're in that anger and frustration place, it puts that defense mechanism automatically in our kids. So when we see that with our kids, we need to sort of slow down and go, oh, whoa, how does my tone sound? How am I being reactive? Because that will immediately cause them to match that same emotion with a reactive emotion, right? We're mirroring each other. So we want to,
And I was going to say, even as you said, worry, and you explained it versus concern, I could feel the differences in my body. When you said worry, I sped up. I felt my heart raise. I became reactive, as you said, right? Fear, anxiety. But as you said, slow down, recognize concern. I care about you as my child, what's going on. I could feel calmer as well. And so that is wonderful. And I think that's important, that distinction between worry and concern, Carolyn, at all points, whether it's during quarantine and lockdown or not, that we recognize that we are concerned about our children and what they're doing and their choices and their behaviors. But if we talk about it in terms of worry, that makes us anxious. And then we react, and then our kids notice that and observe that.
Yes. And there's a a lot of people will talk about how I have to worry. Like, if I loved you, I have to worry. So that's another way we really justify that need to worry, just with that one phrase. We've confused that worry equals loving. Mm. Right. And so we justify this need to worry. And the word worry comes from this old German word, which means to strangle. Worrisome thoughts and their resulting feelings are a form of self-strangulation. So that's this definition of where that worry came from. Mm-hmm. So we don't want to go there.
You know, right. We do not want to go there at all. Strangle, not at all. Yes, but I like also that notion that if we love somebody, then we worry about them. And what you're saying is if we love them, we're concerned. We care.
We care. And we can stay in that place of having faith that this too shall pass, right? That sense of, okay, I am aware that this is a place that doesn't feel good. It feels uncertain. It feels like I'm feeling afraid here, but I can come to it and be with it in this other place in myself.
Mm, very good. And remember, listeners, and I say this all the time, Carolyn, I'm sure you do as well, that our children are watching us. They're observing us. We can say things,
yes.
But even more important is what they observe. So if we can slow down and show concern rather than worry and anxiety and fear, and we can go to our children and say that, oh, how much better would that be? Thank you so much for that strategy. Okay, now what is another strategy to connect with our children in quarantine?
The way that our tone is and what we say, like the actual words we say to our children, can have a huge effect on the way they're responding. And so this is a big part of my message on judging and criticizing and how that shows up in our relationships with our kids. So a lot of times we might say, you know, our kids will do something and we get frustrated with them, you know, or they make a mess, or they're not listening, or 100 other ways that we can get into these situations with them. And how we respond to that is so important. So we want to first notice, what are we saying when they mess up, like they do something that frustrates us or angers us. And so one of the common ways we express our reaction to this or response to this is, you know, what's the matter with you? You know, why is this taking so long? Or, you know, are you kidding me? So all of these expressions are a form of criticizing our kids. It's like we're making them wrong for what they've done. And when we do that, that causes a defense mechanism in them and a feeling of, you know, not good enough. That's where that feeling comes from. And as a parent, we're not aware of the way we say those words and the tone that we're using, that it closes them down. It shuts them down. Instead of just being curious about, you know, what's going on, like how is this happening, and be more into their space in terms of what's triggered that, or what's happening in their world that has created this situation. Because
you're saying is the questions that I ask, as well as my body language, is going to affect my children. So instead of saying what's wrong or how could you do that, ask an open-ended question to my child. Is that right, Carolyn?
Yes, an open-ended from a curious place.
Ooh,
as opposed to
curious place. Yeah. So don't judge automatically.
Yes.
And by the way, when I judge, my child can probably see it in my face and my body and my eyes, right?
Yeah.
I'm reminded, Carolyn, of a story with my daughter the other day. You know, she asked me a question. She's a new therapist, and she was asking me a question about her reactions to one of her clients. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even say anything. I was just listening. Yeah. But she could tell on my face. And she said, Mom, how come you didn't like what I said? And I was like, I didn't even say anything. And she said, well, you don't have to say anything. I could read it on your face. And I was like, wow. Yeah. Right?
Face.
And so we have to watch that, as well as the questions that we ask. Now, how as a parent, how do you recommend to your clients that I notice what I'm showing, or I watch what I ask? How do I figure that all out?
A lot of times, honestly, it's our kids' responses to us, right? Like, my kids will tell me now. It's like, Mom, like they will be honest with me now and tell me. And when they get defensive, then, you know, I have to like step back and go, okay, is this me? Like, how did I say that I'm getting that reaction over there? We may say, you know, how could you do that? Like we're venting our frustration, you know, and the thing is, we are going to be real and you know, in the moment, we're going to have those moments where we're expressing what's coming up for us in that moment. But when we move through the interaction that we have with our kids, we need to take responsibility with, did I show up in a way that, you know, criticized or judged them in a place where they feel like they have to defend themselves, as opposed to, you know, being in that slow place again and understanding what's happening and not making assumptions right away that they've done something wrong or they've behaved in a way that was intentional. A lot of times we tend to go to the place of, how could you do that? You know, as if they did that on purpose, you know, or, you know, they should have known better, all of those expressions. And usually it's because there's a misunderstanding of what's happening.
Mm-hmm. We don't understand. Well, I like that. So paying attention to how you speak, not only with your words and your questions, but your body language as well. Yes. Now I'm going to turn to another strategy because I know it's so important. And you say to encourage mistakes and redefine failure. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? Or share with us. And we only have about 5 minutes left. And I know this is such an important strategy.
The making mistakes, I think we forget that our kids are born, and we are all born to make mistakes to learn and grow, you know, and when we forget that there's this huge experience that we have, and we talk from that place of having all this experience, and just allowing our kids to fall down and fail and be with it in a way that they feel safe, you know, so when they make a mistake, you know, how can we create a space for them to, you know, be okay with that and recognize that part of growing is failing. Part of growing is making mistakes, and turn that around to something that is something we need to expect in our lives as part of our growth.
And I like that. I like that, by the way, Carolyn, a lot, that we all make mistakes. And one of the things I always tell my clients is that as a parent, acknowledging my mistakes to my children can be really helpful, because then they can see I'm okay with making mistakes and I can talk about it as well.
I think a lot, yes. To apologize too. Like, it's okay to apologize to your kids when you were shouting and then you feel like, oh, that's not the way I wanted to show up in that space, you know? And so that just being human and just acknowledging that, you know, that was not my best self. and acknowledging and sharing that, your kids will do the same thing.
Like, exactly. And I love it because if you apologize, right, then your kids are going to apologize. And to have kids who are sorry and know how to apologize
on their own.
Yes, on their own, not even being asked. I agree, Carolyn. I love it. Now, if there's one message you would like to listeners to take away from this program, we only have about 2 minutes. What would that be, Carolyn? Time goes by so quickly.
This is another big one for me, is expectations. That we have expectations, you know. Well, I don't know if you, as a parent, you've ever said this. I know I have, you know, why aren't you happy? You know, you should be happy. That's what we want for them, you know. But there's this enormous pressure these days of trying to meet our parents' expectations, you know. So when we have that, when we say it like that, our kids feel like they have to meet those expectations. You know, we need to deliver this, you know, we need to be happy, as opposed to just understanding, you know, what makes them happy, you know, like shift our attention over to where are they in their world with what brings them joy.
I like that. So allow yourself to let go of those expectations. Wonderful strategies, Carolyn. Slow down, pay attention to how you speak, encouraging mistakes and redefine failure, and then let go of your expectations, parents. Thank you so much for joining us, Carolyn.
Thank you.
I love talking to you.
Same.
And I really learned a lot. And again, listeners, if you want more information about Carolyn Hidalgo or her coaching services, please go to CarolynHidalgo.com. And that's HIDALGO.com. Also, remember that if you're interested in learning more about your children's world, especially in terms of the most popular tween and teen entertainment choices, go to PluggedInParent.guide and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. As always, thanks for listening. I appreciate you. I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio. I'm here to help all your relationships, including the one with yourself, be the best they can be. My personal website is Dr. Terry, thelovedoctor.com, where I provide you with science-based relationship advice that's easy to understand and include in your life. So listeners, until next time, be safe, be healthy, and here's to your happy, healthy relationships.